Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. No one likes a bad report. Just ask a youngster when it's time for grade cards to come out. Very often a bad report can get one in a lot of trouble. Some ancient kings so disliked bad reports that they would execute the messenger who brought them. I wonder if this is the origin of yes men in business and politics. Well, sometimes a bad report brings grief not only to the bearer of the news, but also to the ones about whom the bad report is given. This was the case in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2, when Joseph brought back a bad report about his brothers. The scriptures do not reveal what Joseph's brothers had done to merit a bad report, and they do not reveal the consequences suffered by them because of it. However, they must have suffered some kind of consequences because the scriptures tell us that they held a grudge against Joseph because of it. In this instance, Joseph suffered because his bad report was part of the reason why his brothers sold him into slavery. There are circumstances in which a bad report must be given, as in the case of Joseph and his brothers. They had done something that warranted a bad report, so Joseph had no choice but to bring this news to his father. On the other hand, there are times when a bad report is not warranted and should not be given. Such an instance is recorded in Numbers chapter 13. This was a bad report that reflected the faithlessness of the ones who gave it, and it caused an entire generation of Israelites to perish in the wilderness. Today we will discuss the bad report given by 10 of the 12 spies whom Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan prior to Israel's invasion of it. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, God commanded Moses to select 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. The scripture says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one a leader among them.'" Now it is important to recognize that every tribe of Israel was represented in this group of men. Every tribe would therefore have some say in the report that these men delivered. Also, we need to recognize that the men being sent on this mission were not ordinary men. The scripture says that each of them was a leader among his father's tribe. So these men were among the very best men in all of Israel. Their mission was extensive, though not difficult. Over the course of 40 days, they were to make observations of the terrain, the cities, the people, and the produce of the land that lay before them. If possible, they were to bring samples of the produce of the land, and most importantly, from a military standpoint, they were to give a detailed report of the fortifications that Israel would encounter as they came into this land. To the credit of these men, they did exactly as they had been commanded. They went from the midst of the Sinai Peninsula to the northernmost reaches of Canaan, perhaps as much as 250 miles from their starting point. Then they returned at the end of 40 days to the camp of Israel in order to make their report. In this regard, they faithfully discharged the duties that had been laid upon them. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 29, we find the record of the report that they gave to Moses and to the people of Israel. The scripture says, "When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told them and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan.'" Now, this part of the spies' report was an accurate representation of what they had observed in the land of Canaan. One sample of produce that they brought back with them was a single cluster of grapes that took two men to carry on a pole. Along with the other produce they brought back, they correctly affirmed that the land was extremely good and fruitful. They also correctly noted that the cities were fortified and the people in them were strong. The nations named by the spies in verse 29 did indeed inhabit the land. And there were also giants in the land, the descendants of Anak. Having come from Egypt after God devastated that great nation, the spies and the people should not have been deterred by the power and the stature of the people who were living in Canaan. Surely if God could overcome Egypt, he could overpower these nations as well. However, as the spies continued to speak, they talked themselves out of trusting in God. As their report continued in verses 30 to 33, they began to discourage the people of Israel. Here the text says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.' So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and the people whom we saw are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" Now the longer that the spies spoke, the less they emphasized the good aspects of the land, and the more they emphasized the perceived bad aspects of it. The land went from being a place flowing with milk and honey, as they had initially reported, to a land that devours its inhabitants. Even the exhortation of Caleb could not turn the tide of the 10 faithless spies. As a result, the people of Israel lost faith, and in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2, the scripture tells us that they began to grumble against Moses and Aaron. In verse 32, the scripture says that the spies gave a bad report of the land. Now, what was it that made their report bad? Well, there are several factors on the answer to this question. First, their report was full of lies and distortions. They used these in response to Caleb's bold exhortation that they should go in and take possession of the land. You see, they met his call for action with things that weren't true. The people of Canaan were not too strong for Israel to overcome, as they asserted. They certainly were not as strong as Egypt had been, and God had easily brought Israel out of the land of Egypt. You see, the Canaanites were not too strong. The 10 spies were just too faithless. At the same time, the land could not be one that flows with milk and honey, which means it's very productive, and also be a land that devours its inhabitants. The cluster of grapes that the spies brought out of Canaan was mute testimony to their lie about the nature of the land. You see, the land had not changed. Only their perception and attitude about going into it had changed. The second aspect that made their report bad was the effect it had on the people of Israel. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, the scripture says, "Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?'" Now, this was not the first time that the people of Israel had thrown up their hands in despair and wished for the good old days back in Egypt. This was, however, a pivotal moment in their history, for they were literally on the threshold of the Promised Land, and yet they were ready to quit and return to bondage. What makes this discouragement so awful is that it was brought about by their leaders. The 10 spies who were responsible for discouraging the people were all leaders of their tribes. They should have been men like Caleb, boldly exhorting the people to complete God's plan for them. Instead, they turned the people away from God. The third factor which makes this a bad report is that it completely left God and His will out of the discussion. The 10 spies who turned the people away from God's plan only spoke of their feelings and their desires. They never once referred to God's will in this matter. They can therefore only be described as being faithless. They had ignored all the mighty works that God had done to bring them thus far in their journey and just acted as though He would not help them any further. When it became evident that Israel was not going to obey God's will to enter the land, God appeared at the tent of meeting and spoke to Moses. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, God said, "How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst?" While the faithless spies kept saying, "We are not able," they were insulting God, by whose power they had not only come out of Egypt, but had also been sustained on their journey through the wilderness. These men were acting as though the conquest of the Promised Land would only happen by their own power, and this was the greatest of their lies, and it was this that ultimately disheartened the people. The results of the actions of the faithless spies was God's wrath was brought down on the people of Israel. God would have wiped them all out and started over, but Moses interceded for them and moderated God's punishment against Israel. In Numbers 14, verses 20 to 29, God prescribed His punishment. None of the men who had seen God's great works in the wilderness would enter the Promised Land. All those 20 years of age and older would perish in the wilderness as Israel wandered for 40 years, 1 year for every day the spies had been in the land of Canaan. Thus God's punishment would be meted out over the course of 40 years. The 10 men who had turned Israel away from God, however, were immediately punished. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 36 through 38, God sent a plague against the faithless spies, and they all died. Only Joshua and Caleb were spared and allowed to enter the Promised Land. When the 40 years of wandering was complete, that entire generation had died in the wilderness. Commentators estimate that as many as 1.5 to 2 million people perished during that time. What a terrible price was paid because 10 men gave a bad report. Well, sometimes a bad report is necessary because of someone's sin. But woe to anyone who makes a bad report concerning what God has revealed in His Word for His people to do. We call those who do this kind of thing naysayers. They are people who think everything is impossible. They can be an irritant in human affairs, but they are stumbling blocks in the body of Christ because they are faithless. God's reaction to the bad report of the 10 spies shows us that those who are faithless and who cause others to be faithless will not go unpunished. As we serve in the kingdom of God, we must be people like Joshua and Caleb, who trusted in God and were willing to do whatever He told them to do. They were men of faith, and so must we be today if we wish to please God and to accomplish His will in our lives. God never asked Israel to do anything that He did not enable them to accomplish, and it is the same for us today. Whatever God requires of us, He will empower us to do it, if we trust Him. As we think about these things, then, what kind of a report does your life give concerning your faith in God? If it is not a good report, like that of Joshua and Caleb, you need to repent of this. You need to turn back to God. You need to put your trust back in Him and show Him that you do indeed believe in Him and trust in His Word. You need to do this before it's too late, before your lack of faith causes someone else to lose his faith as well. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.